This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 14th of June 2019. Hello and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 13th of June 2019, which this week has been edited by Sue Frayne, Anne Brew, Pat Whitfield and Jane Thomas. Our readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
Victoria Hooton.
Hello.
And Peter Lydiard.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are: Citizens' Advice opens at new base, Heading to London, Festival of Cycling draws thousands. So we start with the story behind the first headline.
Citizens' Advice opens at new base. Citizens' Advice has now officially opened its doors at their new location on Colebrook Street in Winchester. The charity, which helps thousands of clients each year with issues ranging from benefit service to debt and consumer problems, has been in the city since 1953. Their new ground-level location next to Winchester City Council is more accessible than their previous upstairs office in the Casson block on St George's Street, and the newly renovated rental space provides a more welcoming space for clients, volunteers and staff alike. The service provided by the charity will remain the same, with trained volunteers providing free, independent advice to everyone, whatever their issues or circumstances. Natalie Webb, Chief Officer of Citizens Advice, said, "We are delighted to have had this wonderful opportunity to work with the City Council to move into new, modern city centre space. It will be so much more accessible and convenient for our clients. As a local independent charity, it is so important that we are visible within the community and remind people of the service that we provide." Laura Taylor, Chief Executive of the City Council, said, "Citizens' Advice is an essential service within our district, and we are proud to support their services. We are delighted to have helped them find a new home in our offices. Having them located next door to us will be of great benefit to everyone." Last year, Citizens Advice Winchester District helped over 5,000 people with more than 12,000 different issues. Many of these clients will have seen an advisor face to face, while others are helped by phone or online. If you need advice, you can visit the Citizens Advice office on Colebrook Street at the following times: Mondays 10 till 4, Tuesdays 10 till 1, Wednesdays 10 till 4, Thursdays 10 till 4, and Fridays 10 till 1. Alternatively, call Advice Line on 03444 11306, and I'll say that again: 03444 11306.
Heading to London. A Winchester charity is set to join protesters in Westminster for the biggest mass lobby on climate change ever, taking place just weeks after the City Council declared a climate emergency. WinACC, Winchester Action on Climate Change, has been recruiting residents for the trip on June the 26th, where thousands will meet MPs outside Parliament. Members have asked those interested to meet at Winchester train station for 11 a.m. before travelling to the capital, joining people from across Hampshire to demand for the government to set a new target of net zero emissions by 2050. Chairman of WinACC, Jock MacDonald, said, "Last year, UK government statistics showed three quarters of people were concerned about climate change. Now, in 2019, even more of us, including our young people, are concerned. The Earth Day march on Easter Monday showed that people of Winchester feel strongly. We need to act together to prevent a looming global crisis. We must do much more and do it much more quickly. Climate change is too important to be a party political issue. He added, it is essential that every MP signs up to an action plan to cut the energy we use in the UK, to cut the greenhouse gases we let pollute our atmosphere, and increase the amount of renewable power we generate. Local MP George Hollingbury has promised to meet the delegation.
Festival of Cycling draws thousands. A festival of cycling, a festival of cycling drew thousands of spectators to Winchester city centre on Sunday. It was a chance to celebrate all things on two wheels, with the Broadway converted into both a space for bicycle stunts and stalls for local clubs and organisations. There were also serious road racing on the now well-established circuit around the city centre, taking the high street and back roads through to the square. As with all cycle racing, there were occasional mishaps and crashes, though no one was seriously hurt. Winchester City Council is working hard to promote cycling, both as a way of easing congestion and pollution, and also for its health benefits. It is estimated that 3,000 people attended the event, with 319 riders for the criterium and 331 taking part in the family ride. It was sponsored by Hargrove Cycles, South Downs National Park and Winchester Motor Company. And this is accompanied by a photograph taken outside the Guild Hall with the Mayor, Eleanor Bell, resplendent in her mayoral chain, sitting on what looks like to be a tricycle constructed of two penny farthings cobbled together. How they steer it, I do not know. And standing next to her is Alan Webber from the Solent Veteran Bicycle Club.
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Dickinson, John William Dickinson, at home on the 8th of June, aged 70. Nairn, John Huey Nairn, on the 1st of June, aged 80. And Seymour, James Foreman Seymour, at Fir Villa Residential Home on the 10th of May, aged 94. And now we have Christian comment.
Pentecost unites all Christians. Pentecost, the birth of the Christian Church. Such a powerful and clear message, as soon after the resurrection, Jesus ascended to heaven. Those gathered in the upper room heard a tremendous wind and saw tongues of fire on each other's heads. They heard each other speaking in strange languages that they could nevertheless understand, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. On this Pentecost morning, a couple of millennia later, we were on the Isle of Wight and guests in a small church that was full of welcome and love. The music was made by young and old alike, each playing their own instrument, guitars, violin, piano, trumpet, and together making a wonderful sound that enabled the rest of us to sing with joy. A couple of thoughts came to me this year as I listened to the gospel. Firstly, how really bizarre it must have been in those early apostles to look across and see tongues of fire on their neighbour's head. There was a rushing wind, everyone speaking at once, and yet making sense. It was surely noisy, disorientating, overwhelming, and yet amazing and affirming. It is hard to find the right adjectives for such an event, but it was certainly life and heart-changing for those people and those who followed on, who suffered much to establish and keep the church alive. Christians are still persecuted in large numbers in some parts of the world today, but they are strengthened by those early apostles and the scriptures that recorded events. The other thought was that this is one of those feasts that the whole church, all Christians acknowledge and celebrate. Like Christmas and Easter, these defining moments of our faith and church are shared and differences melt away. We know it is where we began, and the Thy Kingdom Come movement that you may have stumbled over in the last couple of weeks has brought us to this event, this moment when we see a taste of the kingdom that is to come. We are told that there will be no more weeping or mourning because the old order will have passed away, Revelations 21:4. Imagine those of you who are weeping and mourning or in pain. It will all pass away. Meanwhile, we are here in this world and moving on with our lives, sometimes humdrum, sometimes joyful, sometimes hard. My other Pentecost thought was that a small band of musicians came harmoniously together to make the right sound. Sometimes they were the background, the bass, or the support. Then they took the tune and their instrument would lead us all in the singing. They had each learned their part. They knew they were making a whole tune together and were there to support or then to lead. If they had each tried to do their own thing, the outcome would have been chaotic. So can we learn to play our part for the kingdom. This will change depending on events and how strong or feeble we might be feeling at any time. Whatever is asked of us, we can bring that kingdom here today and to others. Thy kingdom come. And that was by Liz Tatham.
Next, we have the letters to the editor. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860 836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor in the old-fashioned way at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. We have a usual variety of letters. The first batch concerns climate change.
Good news by Phil Gagg. Sir, may I congratulate the Chronicle on reporting the Council's declaration of climate emergency on the front page of the June 6th edition in well under 24 hours after it was agreed. This was probably the most important decision the Council has ever made, and it was good to be able to read about it so soon afterwards. Your reporting priorities seem to be absolutely right. It was extremely good news that at the meeting there was complete consensus across both political parties and amongst all the public participants. Every speaker expressed a desire for specific proposals to achieve zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. Nobody objected. Now that the Council has set out a clear policy with a clear target, it has created a robust framework for a full range of programmes. In the past, the Council has done a lot to reduce emissions. I'm sure that everyone was as disappointed as I was when last year we learnt that the targets would not be reached unless programmes were intensified, and that increased global heating meant that the original targets were too modest and too late. The most worrying finding was that the emissions from road vehicles had gone up steadily over the last 10 years. So I welcomed the increased determination we now have in Winchester to reduce the chances of climate catastrophe. I look forward to an acceptance of the sheer scale of the changes needed and broad agreement on how to bring them all about. It will not be easy. There will have to be sudden and major changes in how we lead our lives, the technology we rely upon, and the amount and types of energy we all consume. If we do it well, we will not only avoid climate catastrophe, but also improve the quality of our lives. That was by Phil Gagg, St Swithin Street, Winchester.
Kate McIntosh writes, ironic or dim? Was it in the spirit of ironic provocation or simply a lack of joined-up thinking that inspired your editors to juxtapose the announcement that the newly Lib Dem-controlled Winchester City Council has declared a climate emergency against a news shot of a classic car rally touring the county and stopping in Winchester. There are approximately 24 million cars in the UK, the older ones being the worst emitters of the toxic fumes, which make a major contribution to killing 40,000 people per annum, and also to the climate chaos which the new council recognises and wishes to mitigate. And that was written by Kate McIntosh, MBE, RIBA, West End Terrace, Winchester.
Emergency. A letter by Jan Warwick, County Councillor, Downlands Division. Sir, climate change is an important issue, and I'm confident that all members of Winchester City Council, whatever their political persuasion, will respond positively to the sentiments outlined in the Cabinet's emergency declaration on June 5th, chronicled June 6th. This issue is, of course, much more than just declaring an emergency. The financial implications of any proposal will need to be assessed and shown to be sustainable. If carbon neutrality relies on trading green tariff electricity and carbon offset programme, then taxpayers will need clarity on how this will be paid for and a robust audit trail of the chosen offsetting scheme. Whereas Winchester City Council's own carbon footprint is within its own control, much of the carbon footprint of the district is outside that. We've seen, for example, a significant rise in the volume of cardboard packaging in the waste stream, along with an increase in delivery vehicle traffic. Both trends are associated with the popularity of online shopping. Increased electricity use, and hence carbon emissions, are linearly linked to growth in both business and population, so it's essential that the council protects the local economy by agreeing any policy changes, particularly around traffic and parking, in conjunction with key partners such as the Winchester BID and the Chamber of Commerce. I hope Winchester City Council will protect our forests and woodlands. Not only do they sustain biodiversity, but they're a key source of carbon capture. After transport, deforestation is the second biggest source of carbon emissions. From a biodiversity and climate change perspective, protecting our woodland must be a number one priority for any administration. This includes standing up against the proposed Eastleigh Borough Council plan to build an unsustainable development of more than 5,000 houses right on the border of Otterbourne and Colden Common. According to the Woodland Trust, there is an insufficient buffer between the housing development and ancient woodland, established woodlands at Upper Barn, Crowdhill Copse, Stoke Park Wood and Halls Land Copse are all under threat. I would urge this administration to follow the lead of previous Conservative administration, recognise this imminent emergency and object to the destructive, unsustainable local plan of Eastleigh Borough Council. From Jan Warrett, County Council Downlands Division, Main Road, Hursley.
Plant Trees by Dale Thompson. Sir, it is very good news that Winchester City Council has joined dozens of other councils in Britain and set out their aim to make Winchester carbon neutral by 2024. I would like to make one suggestion about what we as individuals in Winchester can do to help reverse global warming, one step at a time. We can all think carefully before paving our ever larger areas of our gardens. I have noticed that in the streets near where I live, paved areas have increased in about a third of front gardens, and trees, shrubs and lawns have been destroyed. In addition, it would be good to require all house builders in Winchester to plant at least one tree for every new house they build. We all know that every tree, shrub and leaf of grass we grow in our gardens helps the survival of our planet, as well as helping birds and pollinating insects. We just need to do something about it. Winchester has a wonderful legacy of trees. Let's add to them, not remove them. By Dale Thompson, Compton Road, Winchester.
And this letter is written by Dr. Ryan and Dr. Emma Higgin, and it's entitled Wrong Place. Sir, we have lived in the Hyde area for several years now and are appalled at the prospects of Allen House reopening as a hostel for ex-Winchester prison inmates. By no means are our views held through either a lack of compassion for those requiring social housing and rehabilitation, or the sheer unwillingness for such projects to be held in communities such as Hyde. It is that Allen House on Hyde Street is quite possibly the worst site for such a plan. Hyde has a major drug taking and distribution problem, which has worsened significantly over the last 4 years. Westview House is well known to be one of the biggest social housing complexes in the area and is situated less than 100 metres from Allen House. Westview attracts addicts from all over Winchester and clearly serves as the distribution site for cocaine, opiates and latterly spice. Persons are regularly seen travelling down Hyde Street, Saxon Road and Hyde Close towards Westview House to pick up their drugs. 2 months ago, we returned from work to find that 6 needles and syringes had been left on our doorstep, and these had to be cleared by the council. Along with this are the numerous times we have been alerted to drug and alcohol intoxicated persons in Hyde Street, with abusive and aggressive arguments and fights occurring at any time, day or night. These problems are occurring now, at a time where Allen House had been closed for a few years, and the issue is escalating. Hyde no longer feels like a safe area to live. My wife and I are both doctors and have worked in most hospitals in the Wessex region. We are more than aware of the difficulties in dealing with drug addiction, alcohol abuse and the homeless. We would struggle to find any professional opinion arguing for the rehabilitation of ex-offenders and vulnerable persons in an area with a worsening, escalating drug taking and distribution problem. We feel the plan to be at best ignorant and at worst foolish. That was written by Dr. Ryan and Dr. Emma Higgin, Hyde Street, Hyde, Winchester.
Itching threat. This is from Chris Pearson. Sir, anyone who watched Sunday's BBC Countryfile report on the Itchen and other chalk streams of Hampshire will have been encouraged by the great work being undertaken to reduce pollution levels. It is especially heartening that some farmers have finally woken up to the harmful impact of their chemicals and other waste and are doing something about it. Unfortunately, there is another darker side to the picture. Plans by Eastleigh Borough Council to build thousands of houses on land that drains via a network of feeder streams directly into the River Itchen. If these plans ever go ahead, the damage would more than cancel out all the advances highlighted in the programme. It is now recognised that excess fine sediment causes immense damage to chalk streams, as their relatively stable flows are unable to purge the sediment from the system. Many of the invertebrates that form the fundamental food web of chalk stream life are unable to cope with the accumulation of sediment, leaving behind an impoverished environment. Particularly worrying is the effect that the building works would have on the trout and salmon that make it such an iconic river for anglers around the world. Their spawning sites are highly sensitive to any changes in the environment. Silt from the runoff would damage them beyond repair and possibly destroy them altogether. There would then be the open-ended problem of runoff that comes with any urban development. The salmon and trout are just two examples of wildlife that would suffer under Eastleigh's plans. I could also mention the otters, the rare southern damselfly, and some nationally rare invertebrate species. The programme rightly described the Itchen as one of the glories of our countryside. It is, however, far too soon to imagine that we have turned the corner in our efforts to protect it from human activity. And this is from Chris Pearson, BSc, MSc, chairman of the Itchen Salmon Group and a river Itchen keeper.
Morris Memorial. Sir, it has been known for some time that the Great War Oak Memorial Board from the demolished St. Morris's Church that was in the High Street in Winchester is missing. When the church was knocked down in 1950s, the board was entrusted to Winchester City Council. Despite Steve Jarvis's request to search by the council staff over the last 20 to 30 years, it has not turned up. Steve Jarvis is the creator of the invaluable Hampshire Memorials website. However, recently transcribed records in the HRO has enabled him to reconstruct the list of 21 names. It is very appropriate that those names should now be listed in the about-to-be-refurbished St. Morris's Covert. Winchester does not have a war memorial with the names of its nearly 500 men and one woman who died during the Great War. So those 21 men have no public memorial, unlike the rest of them in Winchester. Perhaps there is someone who has knowledge of where the memorial board has been during the last 60 years, or has a photograph of it, or who have relatives who should have been on that board. Also being looked for are the names of anyone who died from the parish in World War II. If you can help with any further information, please get in touch with Geraldine Buchanan on 01962 856 787. I'll say that again, 01962 856 787. That's by Geraldine Buchanan, Elm Road, Full Flood, Winchester.
The following letter is from Mrs. Barbara Crabb, and it's headed Seeking Photographs of Ike in 1944. So I've been quite surprised during this week's commemorations about the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings that there has been no mention, that I have seen, of the visit by General Ike Eisenhower paid to the Matinee Bowl to address the troops before D-Day. I had hoped to find some photographs of that occasion, as we at St Andrew's Church in Oslebury on Saturday, June the 29th, between 2 and 4pm, are holding our fete with the theme of D-Day in Oslebury, and we had hoped to find some more information and pictures of what was going on in the village, as it would have been teeming with US troops at the time. We are hoping to have an exhibition of photographs and artefacts of the time. We would be very grateful if any of your readers could help with this, if they have any photographs or first-hand memories of the time. That was written by Mrs. Barbara Crabb of Hensting Lane, Oslebury. And there's a telephone number here, 01962 777887. I'll repeat that, 01962 777887.
One service from Alan Crisp. Sir, I had a letter published a little while ago asking if anyone had ever managed to get connected when calling 101. As a result, I had letters and cards confirming a lack of service on this number sent to my home address, but no response from the Chief Constable. The government have now, from April 2020, cancelled the cost of the call, and matters can be brought to the attention of the police via a new 101 website. Sadly, there's no hope of the service improving, and rather than the police connecting with the public that they are meant to serve, they recommend that you call 999, even to report minor matters. In the meanwhile, the police commissioner is generously funded in a role no one is sure of. Such funds should surely be used to support the 101 service. Alan Crisp, Joy's Lane, Chilbolton.
Next, we have some items of historical interest, and we have them from 200, 100, 50 and 25 years ago. So we start with 200 years ago.
200 years ago, Monday, June the 14th, 1819. Thursday, during a severe storm of thunder and lightning, the electrical fluid penetrated through the roof of a house at Ropley, perforated the floor and ceiling into the second room, where it melted the bell wires and shivered the paper.
Interesting. Yes, thank you. Well, 100 years ago, it was Saturday, June the 14th. I'm just thinking about electrical fluid. I can't get my head around it. Sorry. 100 years ago, it was Saturday, June the 14th, 1919. Something over 200 men in the services who had been Boy Scouts in Hampshire fell in the Great War, and their memory was honoured by 2,000 who are now Scouts, attending a memorial service in Winchester Cathedral last Saturday afternoon. Troops assembled in Wolvesley Palace grounds from Aldershot, Andover, Basingstoke, Bishop's Waltham and District, Bournemouth, including a contingent of Sea Scouts, Eastleigh, Fordingbridge, Gosport, Havant Division, Hythe, Highclere, Peterfield, Portsmouth, Romsey, Southampton and Borough, Stockbridge and Winchester Borough. A few girl guides being also present.
50 years ago, Saturday, June the 14th, 1969, two representatives of Hampshire County Council, one an officer, one a councillor, stood in horror watching heavy through traffic negotiate a Winchester Road junction. A meeting in the city was told on Monday. On his way to attend the Hampshire Police Authority was a Mr. A.J. Griffin, councillor for Eastleigh East, who was joined at the junction of Southgate Street with High Street by Dr. I.A. McDougall, the County Medical Officer of Health. "It was the biggest organised chaos I've ever seen," Mr. Griffin told the authority 2 hours later. "We stood there and saw the stuff coming round to turn left into Southgate Street. There were whopping great trailers and car-ferrying vehicles. Heaven knows how they got round that corner." Describing how one lorry had missed a shop front by inches, he continued, "I don't know what could happen to anybody on the pavement, especially mothers with prams. There was a traffic warden there, but he was powerless to do anything."
20 years ago, Friday, 10th of June, 1994. Aggressive begging, harassment of people in the High Street, drunks in Abbey Gardens. What is to be done about the social menace that has become the source of concern and frequent complaint? Many authorities in Winchester are aware of the problem and are addressing it, but say there is no quick solution. Winchester City Council strategy is long-term, about a situation it sees as complex. As Tony Merriman, the city's general manager, points out, you can't simply sweep them up and push them off somewhere else. It is acknowledged that vagrants, beggars, travellers are now to be found in towns throughout the country and in many European cities. I don't believe we can take draconian measures unless the police consider laws have been broken, said Mr. Merriman, and that's for them to decide. All we can do is find out whether the community can help these people in a way that will make them more socially responsible. Our sole aim is to suggest that if they are getting shelter, support, some welfare during the day and some healthcare, plus the support of the night shelter and Trinity Centre, it may be that they won't turn around and abuse Winchester. Some of these people, he pointed out, had Winchester roots. Some were travellers.
Next we have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial, and that will be followed by First Person.
Yes, the editorial comment from the Hampshire Chronicle is headed, "Climate Declaration is Only a Start." Winchester City Council was right to declare a climate emergency last week, announcing specific targets and deadlines for cutting the authority's carbon footprint. The new Liberal Democrat administration wants to make the council itself carbon neutral by 2024 and the wider district by 2030. The evidence is clear that the world is facing an unprecedented environmental crisis. Anyone who disagrees should apply for membership of the Flat Earth Society. Sorry. People will say there is little point in gesture politics when China, the second biggest economy, and the USA, with climate change denier as president, are doing little. But what is also clear is that this is not a battle that the City Council alone should fight. The fact is that everyone should make changes in their lifestyle. It is vital that the City Council put serious money into making these changes happen. More than lip service should be given, for instance, boosting cycling. A much more comprehensive programme of cycle lanes to get people out of their cars for short journeys would be a useful start.
Thoughts on a Memorable Day by Ron Allison. The recent events held to mark the 75th anniversary of D-Day will have, I'm sure, brought back memories to many older readers of the Hampshire Chronicle. They certainly did to me, while at the same time arousing mixed emotion. I was living in Hampshire at the time, although that part of the world, Bournemouth, has long since been transferred to Dorset. An attempt to equalise the populations of the two counties and to better balance the rates that could be raised in each. In those spring months of 1944, it at times seemed as though every young American GI had crossed the Atlantic to pitch up somewhere along the south coast, often in Hampshire. It was certainly an anxious time for them. There is no doubting that it was wonderfully exciting for us young lads. I was 12, and the Yanks had come. They were over here, and with them came a look and style quite different from our own. Of course, we all knew everything there was to know about Americans. Come on, had we not just seen about all the Hollywood movies? But this wasn't a movie. This was for real. And in our more serious moments, those realities of what was ahead for both the Americans and our own forces and the Canadians made us stop and think, particularly those who had older relatives serving. I well remember one Sunday afternoon when, as part of a splendid arrangement with the US Army, three GIs came to our house for tea. A new experience for all of us. They arrived with more goodies than our own Russians were able to provide, and we had a great time, very much appreciated all round. It was only after they'd left that I noticed my mother had been crying. Her own father had been killed in France in 1916, and the thoughts of what might happen to any of her three new friends was too much for her. They're so young. Looking back, I recall we all had thought the invasion could not be long delayed, and it was impossible to believe that the Germans could be taken by surprise. In the event, bad weather delayed the operation by a day, and we learned the enemy had not expected the landings to be in Normandy. The rest, as they say, is history, although sadly long and bloody. At the time, the whole of the war in Europe and the Far East was being covered by film newsreels, and for us at home, by the BBC radio only. They had a team of outstanding correspondents and reporters, many of whom became my heroes and role models, the names and voices of Frank Gillard, Richard Dimbleby, and Winfred Vaughan Thomas, among many others, became familiar and welcome aspects of our lives. It was a happy relationship that continued for many years after the war, in a variety of news and other programmes. I was extremely fortunate in 1957 to find myself working for the BBC with Frank Gillard, then controller of the BBC's West Region, as my boss. I had been appointed a regional reporter based in Southampton with offices and studio in the old Southwestern Hotel next door to the docks. Much of my time there was spent interviewing the great and the good as they moved between America and Europe by way of Southampton. Indeed, it was because of this flow of celebrities that the BBC decided to have their own man there permanently. So they created the post I was fortunate enough to get. To describe the positioning as convenient is a total understatement. I merely looked out of my window to see if, say, the Queen Mary had arrived, gave them a few minutes to tie up, and then popped round to the interview, for instance, Bing Crosby. Now, of course, for Southampton, read Heathrow or Gatwick, but the BBC's Southampton operation has grown enormously. I think Frank Gillard would be amazed.
A couple of items of what's on. Tomorrow, that's Saturday the 15th, so that'll be the day you actually receive your recording. There is the Winchesterval Music Festival on in Rubber Park, just so you're aware of that, but you may not get the information in time for that. And then the following week, that's Saturday the 22nd of June, the Winchester Fusion Choir is staging a charity concert at All Saints Church in Petersfield Road, Highcliffe, at 7:30. Tickets are £7.50. Proceeds will go to the Winchester Hospice, and the concert is dedicated to the memory of Brian Bell. There will also be a raffle and bar. So that's the Winchester Fusion Choir next Saturday, the 22nd, at 7:30 in All Saints Church on Petersfield Road. We're approaching midsummer. The sun is rising these days at about 10 to 5 in the morning and setting at about 20 past 9 in the evening. If you know of anyone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you yourself have any problems with the recordings you've received from us, please contact Mary Davis on 01962 711 998. That's 01962 711 998. We now move on to items of general news interest.
Fire eater burned on stage in charity show. A shocked audience watched as a fire eater suffered serious burns on stage at a charity show. The talent show had been abandoned after Christy Cullum was injured during the performance. An audience of more than 200 people witnessed the incident at the NHS Got Talent show at Winchester's Theatre Royal on Saturday evening. Miss Cullum was taken to the specialist burns unit at Salisbury, where she remained in a stable condition. She was able to receive immediate attention as there were many doctors and nurses in the audience. The theatre said that it is undertaking a full review of events. Miss Cullum finished third in a similar show held at the same venue in 2018, and a picture accompanying the article shows her scantily dressed in black with tattooed arms, holding batons of fire and surrounded by fire around her midriff. Alex Whitfield, Chief Executive of Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, which runs several hospitals, including the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester, said support will be offered to anybody affected by the incident. Our thoughts are with our colleague and we wish her a quick recovery. We are all in contact with her family and have offered them our support. The Theatre Royal said it would conduct a review of the incident. Miss Whitfield said, "We are supporting the theatre in their review. On the night, the decision was quickly made to stop the show, which was a fundraising event for the Winchester Hospice Appeal." Derek Newland, Chief Executive of the Live Theatre Winchester Trust, which runs the theatre, said, "This was an upsetting incident for everyone involved, and we wish the individual involved a full and speedy recovery."
Young peregrines get ready to fly. It takes humans decades to leave the parental nest, but Winchester Cathedral's peregrine chicks are almost ready to fly after only a few weeks. The four peregrine chicks hatched on April the 25th to the 26th and have since been reared by their parents, Winnie and Chester, who returned to Winchester Cathedral to nest in February 2019 for the third year in a row. The chicks were ringed by the Hampshire Ornithological Society on May the 13th, enabling the experts to track their movements and follow their progress. Since the end of May, the young peregrines have been exploring the nest site and testing their wings. They have delighted visitors and bird watchers alike, who have enjoyed watching them fly around the cathedral close. They are expected to leave within the next few weeks. Their parents have been making a dent in the city's pigeon population. A live webcam on the cathedral website of the next has had 180,000... I'll read that again. A live webcam on the cathedral website of the next has Nest. Had... Of the Nest. Oh, I see. It's a typo. Thank you. Has had 180,000 hits since it went live in January. After decades of persecution, peregrine numbers have been on the increase.
Professors 2.5 million win after no show. A professor from Winchester has been awarded a payout of £2.5 million from a Hampshire university after it failed to turn up to the tribunal. Southampton University has now ordered an urgent investigation after economist Richard Werner was awarded the payout last week, claiming he had been discriminated against for being German and Christian during his 14 years at the university. It is one of the largest awards ever made by a British tribunal and was so high because the university failed to defend itself. Now the university has confirmed that it has asked auditors to get to the bottom of why they did not contest Professor Werner's case and have started legal proceedings to overturn the judgment. Oxford-educated Professor Werner, who devised the economic theory of quantitative easing, a version of which was used by the Bank of England to try to ease the credit crunch of 10 years ago, claimed he was victimised in a harassment and bullying campaign. He told the tribunal he was the victim of a string of incidents between 2010 and 2018 and was not given permission to take a sabbatical to work on a book and flourish as a researcher, despite his colleagues being granted permission.
Planners tackle unauthorised use of land in Meon Valley. Enforcement officers have taken action against a landowner for breaching planning laws by keeping caravans and waste on a site. In a joint exercise between the South Downs National Park Authority and Winchester City Council, two caravans unlawfully sited on the field in Soberton were removed along with scrap vehicles, gas bottles and rubble. The plot off Long Road contained one static and one touring caravan, contrary to the land's lawful planning use for agricultural purposes. Fencing had also been illegally erected. It comes after an enforcement notice was served last November by the National Park Authority, but the landowner failed to comply. Tim Slaney, Director of Planning, said, "Direct action is rarely used and is often a last resort. The decision was, however, reached having exhausted all other options." The division of land means that if action is not taken on a particular set of events, it is possible that further unauthorised harmful development will occur. This article is accompanied with a picture that's best described as a shambolic misuse of land. Our countryside turned into a rubble site littered with old caravans, tarpaulins and garden equipment. Inset are the photographs of Tim Slaney and Richard Botham.
Civic boost to city theatre revamp. Work to revamp part of a Winchester theatre has been boosted by a six-figure investment from Civic Chiefs. Hampshire County Council is providing £375,000 to the Theatre Royal as part of a £500,000 investment in its facilities. Designed and managed by the authority's in-house property services team, the money will help fund internal works to remodel the front of house areas over the coming months. It is hoped that the revamp will result in a smart, contemporary new interior designed for an improved flow of people through the building and more flexible use of the available spaces for different types of activities. The recently granted planning permission and listed building permission also support longer-term proposals to make external alterations, including a new canopy and new windows and doors across the theatre's main entrance on Jury Street. These alterations will require separate funding and will be considered at a later time. Leader of the County Council, Councillor Keith Manns, said, "Winchester Theatre Royal is a hugely important and popular community facility, welcoming more than 70,000 visitors per year to performances and supporting more than 300 young people regularly through the year with music, theatre and dance activities. By supporting the theatre to make some improvements to the internal layout, we can enable them to utilise the space more flexibly in this excellent facility." Derek Newland, Chief Executive of Live Theatre Winchester Trust, the charity which manages both the Theatre Royal and the Hat Fair, said, "We are most grateful that Hampshire County Council and other investors have had the vision to support this exciting development. Contributions from the public via the restoration levy on tickets means that everyone who has bought a ticket has also made a contribution to this project. Thank you."
Trials to test for noise levels. Trials to combat excessive vehicle noise are now being financed following a campaign spearheaded by a local MP. Meon Valley MP George Hollingbury had been lobbying ministers for action after hearing about widespread problems from constituents. Motorcycle noise in particular is causing residents upset on the A32 and A272 between Westmeon Hut and Cheriton. The Department for Transport will now set up initial tests to measure the sound levels of passing motorbikes and cars and detect those that are breaking the law. It is expected that the scheme will use automated number plate recognition to enforce fines. Mr. Hollingbury said, "This inconsiderate noise by a tiny minority, especially in the summer, is a major problem in my constituency and others, and I'm delighted the Department for Transport has set up this trial. I've certainly been campaigning for this type of technology to be developed for some time because I know how upsetting vehicle noise is, and there is clear evidence it affects health too. Studies have found that exposure to noise can have significant physical and mental health implications, with heart attacks, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes and stress all linked to long-term contact with loud environments. Currently, enforcement relies on subjective judgment by the police, but these new trials will determine suitable noise limits by taking into account the class and speed of the vehicle relative to the location of the noise camera. Experts will assemble monitoring equipment and test at several locations over the next few months." Mr. Hollingbury added, "It is a substantial step forward to solving the complex technical issue of finding a workable solution that can calculate the noise of a vehicle from other background noise, identify it, and then offer a realistic prospect of prosecuting the offender. The next step is to ensure one of the trials takes place in the Meon Valley, and I will be in contact with ministers and officials to push hard for this to happen. I remain hopeful a practical solution can be found. To have government undertake research, then recognise the problem, and now finance these trials is clearly good news. If the trials succeed, recommendations will be made to further develop it across the UK."
Rotary donates £40,000 to City's Hospice Appeal. Winchester Hospice Appeal has been boosted by a substantial donation from the City's Rotary. The cheque for £40,000 has been handed over to the fundraisers seeking to raise money to convert Burrell House on Romsey Road. At the beginning of his term as office as President of Winchester Rotary last July, Les Haswell made the Winchester Hospice Appeal his main charity. The club is delighted to announce that following a very successful year of fundraising, a cheque for £40,000 was recently handed over to the hospice team. The major event of the year was the Masquerade Ball at the Guild Hall in December, which raised over £24,000. Last August, a group of hardy members and friends successfully scaled Snowdon in atrocious weather conditions, raising £10,000. A number of smaller events, including a private view of the Whitehall Gallery, also contributed to the success. Winchester's Rotary support for the hospice will continue, and a number of projects are in the pipeline. This article is supported by a photo of 11 people, comprising President Lee Haswell, the Winchester Rotary members, Nick Vaughan, Chairman of Trustees, Winchester Hospital Appeal, and members of the hospice team. They are all holding a very large cheque of £40,000.
Business team succeeds. A group of business-minded students from Peter Simmons College are celebrating reaching the regional finals of the Young Enterprise Company of the Year Awards. Teas and Coffee, the business set up and managed by a team of six students taking part in the Young Enterprise Scheme, was previously awarded Best Customer Service and Company of the Year at South Hampshire Area Finals and Company of the Year at Hampshire County Final. Focusing on sustainability, Teas and Coffee make and sell T-shirts made from plastic bottles, recycled cotton and reusable, biodegradable coffee cups. The company aims to make eco-friendly products more affordable while maintaining ethical business principles. Members of the regional finals judging panel commented on the team's exemplary levels of professionalism, excellent organisation and strong financials. Pushpit Badawij, Managing Director of Teas and Coffee, said, "I joined the Young Enterprise Scheme as I was interested to see how I would operate in a business situation and if this is something that might be for me in the future. It was a great opportunity to learn about my strengths and weaknesses. Lots didn't go as expected, but it helped me develop skills in customer service, problem solving and communication."
Watercress Line calls for young volunteers. The Watercress Line at Alsford is on the lookout for new volunteers aged 18 and under as part of its mission to encourage enthusiasm for heritage railways at an early age and secure even more young engineers for the future. Jason Holders, General Manager, said, "Our volunteers are the backbone of the Watercress Line. Without them, there would be no trains running, no coaches to sit in, no stations to wait in, and no track to run on. Whether you have existing skills that you think you could bring to the Watercress Line, or would simply like to do something different and meet new friends, there's a surprising variety of volunteer roles to get involved with." Joseph Stevens volunteered at the Watercress Line for 5 years, between 2013 and 2018, first as a ranger at the Ropley station and then as a young operator as part of the platform crew at Alsford station. "I most enjoyed the people I got to meet and the experience I had," he said. "I did so many things, from shovelling ash at Ropley Yard to dispatching trains at Alsford. I was lucky to be able to try my hand at signalling, shunting and guarding. Volunteering at the railway didn't just teach me things about the running of railways, however. It helped me to learn about engineering, business and even maths. It also helped me to learn how to work as a team and massively improve my confidence."
Award for University Worker. A member of staff at Winchester University has been recognised for service to higher education in the Queen's Birthday Honour List. Susan Henderson, Head of Future Students, was awarded British Empire Medal. She was working in the university for 11 years in several roles, most directly with her students. Her current role involves welcoming new students and their families. She also heads up liaison with schools and colleges and organises open days, when prospective students visit the university to find out more about what courses are on offer. Susan is fully immersed in university life and organises the annual Christmas Cafe when the university opens the doors of one of its campus coffee shops on Christmas Day to serve free tea, coffee and cakes to the local people. Mm-hmm. She is also involved in the work of the university chaplaincy. Susan said, "It is a great honour to be recognised in this way, and I'm very grateful to everybody who has supported me as my career in higher education has developed."
Now, a second news item about the University of Winchester, and it's headed "Uni slips in table." It's not an accident. Winchester University has dropped in the rankings of UK universities. Based on the student experience, The Guardian rates it as 96th, down from 92nd in 2018, out of 121 institutions. In a statement, the university said, "While it is disappointing to see a small drop for the University of Winchester in the overall Guardian University Guide rankings, we perform strongly in individual subject tables, ranked in the top 5 for American studies, in the top 20 for education and for hospitality, events and tourism, and in the top 30 for politics and for sports science."
Charity coffee morning at Rick Stein's. Home Start Winchester Charity is holding a coffee morning at a city centre restaurant on June the 19th. The doors to Rick Stein will open at 9:30 a.m, but there'll be no fish cakes on the menu. Traditional coffee and cake is to be served by the staff in aid of the charity's fundraising to support local families. Home Start Chairman Liz Cooper said, "We are so grateful to Rick Stein. It's a very generous gesture on behalf of the famous restaurateur, and we were bowled over when they agreed that we could hold an event in the restaurant. We are increasingly reliant on donations from supporters, sponsorship from local businesses, and our own fundraising to support our work, and must raise around 90% of our annual income each and every year, which is why we are so appreciative of this kind gesture." She added, "We hope that all our friends and their families will call in to Rick Stein's and enjoy coffee and cake with us to support our work in Winchester and the surrounding villages." The charity's 35 trained volunteers support on average 75 families a year and will go into a family's home regularly for up to a year to provide help, friendship and advice or support during those vital years when children are young.
HeartStart boosted by donation. A charity that provides life-saving training has received a cheque for £360 from the Bishop's Waltham Town team. The money presented to Meon Valley HeartStart, the MVH, was raised by the team from the ticket sales of April's successful Bishop's Waltham Bites event. MVH is a community organisation set up in 2001 to train people in emergency life-saving skills such as CPR. Chairman Virginia Lovell said, "We are very grateful for this donation from the Bishop's Waltham Town team. We are wholly dependent on donations to keep our service running and to continue to help save lives in the Meon Valley area." The charity offers its training sessions to the general public, to community groups and to schools, and it is all free of charge. It is a service that has no paid staff and is completely run by volunteers. Last year, they trained more than 4,000 people. Robin Shepherd, town team chairman, along with chairman of the Bishop's Waltham Chamber of Trade, Barry Nicholson, presented the cheque outside Giorgio's restaurant on Monday evening. Robin said, "We are really pleased to be able to pass on some of the proceeds from the Bishop's Waltham Bites to such a deserving organisation. So on behalf of the town team itself and the 8 participating outlets, it is great to know that the funds were raised will be able to help HeartStart provide its much needed service." The article is accompanied by a picture with Robin Shepherd, Barry Nicholson, Virginia Lovell and David Williamson holding a large cheque outside the Giorgio restaurant. They're all smiling.
Right, we now have a section called Belgarum, which, as we all know, is an alternative look at the news. A couple of items here. The first one is headed, "The shops close, but their signs remain." There are now no longer any corner shops in Winchester. The last one, in the traditional sense, was Gerard's on Gordon Avenue in Highcliffe, which closed about 10 years ago. but evidence remains in some painted reminders. There is one at the end of Upper Brook Street which advertises Nestlé's milk. Belgarum was unsure when it closed, but probably sometime in the 1960s. The other one is in St Cross Stores on Closentum Road, which closed sometime in the 1980s. It's hard to say, but the paint looks so fresh that it might still be open. Clearly been repainted. Right, the second item is called Ding Dong, another round of bollard bashing. More evidence of the cavalier skills, in inverted commas, of some delivery drivers. This bollard on St Peter's Street, close to the High Street, has taken almost as many blows over the years as a boxer. Every time the driver reverses his or her vehicle into it, the cost of repair is footed from the public purse, unless a traffic warden happens to be nearby. The recent photograph was taken before it was cordoned off for repairs. Perhaps the design could be amended with something sharp to inflict damage on the offending vehicle. Or what about something immovable?
Former city mayor makes poignant visit to Abbey House. Care home resident and former mayor of Winchester, Neil Baxter, felt the weight of public office on his shoulders once more during a specially arranged visit to the city's Abbey House. Neil, 91, a resident at Colton Cares St Catherine's View, was mayor between 2004 and 2005. During that time, he represented the city at the bicentennial Trafalgar Day celebrations in Portsmouth. He also met the Queen and Princess Anne when they visited Winchester and was guest of honour at an Army Training Regiment passing out parade. Neil was hosted at the official mayoral residence by the outgoing 819th Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Frank Pearson, who placed the heavy chains of office on his shoulders so he could remember their weight. Councillor Pearson said, "It's wonderful to have Neil here. He was an extremely popular and very accomplished mayor who welcomed royalty to the city and also raised a good deal of money through the office for the Stroke Association." Neil was accompanied on the tour by Laura Sheldrake, a Colton companion. Laura said, "Neil was born in Glasgow and worked as a physiotherapist after his national service in the RAMC, before moving into the high-powered world of pharmaceutical agrochemicals, a job which regularly took him across Europe and to the United States. He greatly enjoyed his time as mayor, but the thing he was most proud of was his belief that he was the very first Scottish-born mayor of Winchester in its history. While viewing Abbey House's ornately decorated dining room, Neil remarked that he'd hosted many, many parties here." Laura said, "Neil's a wonderful man, and although he now has dementia, he was very obviously aware of his surroundings and was very engaged, especially when we mentioned the Burns Night Suppers he'd hosted here. He is a naturally very smiley gentleman, but today he was literally beaming. It was wonderful to bring him back to a place which obviously has so many happy memories for him. Winchester is the second oldest mayoralty in England."
The campaign to save our threatened blue butterflies. All of our butterflies, one group immediately springs to mind when we think of hot summer days. On a south-facing downland slope, bright blue butterflies skip and chase across the hillside. It's on grasslands like St Catherine's Hill Nature Reserve near Winchester that the blues really come into their own. The familiar common blue, the large powder blue, chalk hill blue and the dazzling Adonis blue butterfly can be seen on the wing together, and best years on the best sites the numbers can be staggering. However, these stunning butterflies have been in decline, with some halving in numbers in no little as two decades. Not only does this threaten our food production, one out of every three mouthfuls of food that we eat depends on pollination taking place, but it also impacts on other species, like the farmland birds that feed on these insects. One of the main causes for the decline in butterflies, bees, and other pollinators in the United Kingdom is the way that landscapes have been managed over the past 50 years. Some 97% of wildflower meadows have disappeared, and pesticides have been introduced, making it increasingly difficult for them to find the food and shelter that they need. There are many things that we as individuals can do to help, from planting nectar-rich flowers to providing homes such as bug hotels. But what we really need to do now is to work in a bigger, joined-up way to ensure that these wonderful and essential species can thrive. Do find out more about what you can do to protect pollinators. And if you can search on a website using the words Take Action Wildlife and Wildlife Gardening, you should find it there.
The next headline actually is in inverted commas. Children have the right to do well. The future of Hampshire's vulnerable children could be put at risk by changes to vital services, it has been claimed. Children and young people with deafness and vision impairment could be left behind as the way they receive support in schools is set to change from September. It is part of a Hampshire County Council move which is understood will save over £700,000. The authority said the changes will ensure that specialist support will continue to be provided while taking account of very challenging financial environment. But parents and charities hit back, saying the changes will have a devastating effect on children's future, and said the council has decided that pounds and pence are more important than good education. The National Deaf Children's Society and the Royal National Institute for the Blind said that the changes to the Specialist Teacher Advisory Service, which were approved by civic offices at the end of May, will have fewer support visits from specialist staff for pupils with mild deafness and a reduction in support from specialist teachers and mobility instructors for children with vision impairment, as well as fewer one-to-one visits and a reduction in specialised staff. Susan White from Romsey said her 11-year-old son, Oliver, that this could mean having to leave mainstream education and his friends to attend a specialist school. The Cooperham Junior School pupil has blue cone monochromatism, which means he's unable to see fine detail, needing everything enlarged. He's also completely colourblind, has nystagmus, which means his eyes move uncontrollably. Miss White said that he has been well supported so far and that teachers have adapted his lessons to his needs. Hampshire County Council said children will be visited based on need rather than impairment, and some youngsters may need to be visited more frequently. The County Council recognises the very specific educational needs of these vulnerable children.
Broadband boost for rural communities. Funding has been announced to help businesses and residents in some of the hardest to reach places in Hampshire to get access to the latest broadband technology through a rural gigabit voucher scheme. Internet speeds offered as part of the scheme can reach up to 1,000 megabytes per second, MPBS, more than enough for any household or small medium-sized enterprise, SME. Hampshire County Councillor Stephen Reed said, "In the 21st century, access to superfast broadband is a basic infrastructure requirement, so I welcome this initiative to help people and businesses in the remaining rural areas, which are where it is needed most. It can help businesses expand or even start up, give people better access to information, enable them to do more online, and even reduce social isolation. This funding will help us reach beyond the 95% superfast broadband coverage we have already achieved in Hampshire and make a real difference to rural communities. To be eligible for the Rural Gigabit Voucher Scheme, people must be part of a group project. which means two or more residents and or small or medium businesses would have to apply together, live in a rural area and have current broadband speeds below 30 mpbs.
D-Day archives are donated. Hampshire Record Office has received D-Day memorabilia for the county's archives. In a recent issue of the Chronicle, local historian Phil Yates related how he came to write the booklet entitled D-Day, The Winchester Connection, with co-author George Fothergill, to mark the 50th anniversary of D-Day in 1994. The last Thursday, Phil handed the booklet, signed by Viscount Montgomery, son of General Montgomery, otherwise known as Monty, to Adrienne Allen, the archivist at Hampshire's Archives and Local Studies. Mr. Yates also handed over the two Hampshire Chronicle photographs taken at this time. Miss Allen said, "We're delighted to add this rare and interesting set of papers to the county archives. They remind us that these monumentous events are just within living memory and that they are still linked back to the now famous names who made it all happen."
MP backs Hunt. Winchester MP Steve Bryan is backing his former boss, Jeremy Hunt, in the Conservative leadership election, which will determine the next Prime Minister. Mr. Bryan was being interviewed about the Foreign Secretary's campaign by Victoria Derbyshire on BBC TV when she made an unfortunate slip in pronouncing Mr. Hunt's name.
Town Carnival is undeterred by rain. Bishop's Waltham Rotary Carnival attracted hundreds of people, undeterred by the grim weather. One of the organisers, Mike Berry, told the Chronicle, "The carnival was again a great success, despite the weather. The Batala drum band woke the town up at around 11:30 a.m. The classic cars and motorbikes came through the town, followed by the procession of scouts, youth club, junior and infant schools, town team, dynamos and fire engines. Sadly, the Fuller's dray, which is provided each year by Fuller's, broke down in the high street and delayed the procession a little." Mr. Berry added, "We owe so much to the local traders who've put themselves out for us, repeatedly providing support and donations to the carnival cause. Prizes were awarded to the scouts for their entry of Apollo 11 and runners-up, the youth club, for their portrayal of the 60s.
On that quintessential English item, we come to the end of our extracts for this week. Our thanks to our editors, who were Sue Frayne, Anne Brew, Pat Whitfield and Jane Thomas. And thanks also to our various technical teams. And thanks to our readers, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Bye-bye.
Victoria Houghton.
Goodbye.
Peter Lydiard.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope.